world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, we know the word says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in the high places. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm fighting a cold, man. The last 48 hours. So praise the Lord, we have a guest today. Going to take a little bit of pressure off of me. War is real, man. The battle is raging. The war is real. And I don't want to pat myself on the back of except sometimes others won't do it, so I'm just going to do it. And we've been saying all along, we've been right all along, folks. What's going on? Not right in every aspect of it, not right in, but that the forces that we're fighting against, demonic forces, evil spirits in high places, Psalm 2. And the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. And I think as I said about 4 days, we have an unbelievable opportunity with the death of Charlie Kirk, the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk, that the doors are now being opened. And one of the things that's really being exposed to us is the ineffectiveness of the American church. And look, if you're a pastor out there, it is what it is, man. Sit in my living room and watch Cleveland Browns. I watch Cleveland Browns. I said, you know, that quarterback sucks. The team isn't doing very well because that guy isn't very good. Or they're getting sacked because the left tackle, he's not protecting the quarterback's back blind side. The reality of it is, it's not that I don't like the tackle or I don't like the quarterback. The reality of it is, dude, you ain't playing the game. You ain't playing it right. And that's what we try to do here. So I'm just saying this for Pastor Devin, who we're about to bring in here. I want to be the pastor's best friend. I want to be their best friend and tell them, dude, here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. And America is in the mess that we're in, not so much because of the devil's kids, but because we've not raised up a standard against it. The Bible says that all creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay, let me shut up here a minute. If you would, Spencer, pull that. You just had it up there. The event down in Texas, and I'm getting ready to go down there. Stay awake, America. Folks, if you really help them down there, if you just buy a ticket. Say, maybe I can't go. Well, donate. Buy a ticket. It's a massive event. I'm going to go down there. Chad's going to go because Chad lives down there. Chad's going to buddy up with me. We're going to go down there. And great speakers, great event. We would love for you to be able to come if you can come. If not, just try to support them. What it is they're trying to do. Unbelievable lineup of people. In fact, that's where I met Devin before. Is one of those down in Tennessee. Now this one is being moved to Texas, and got to tip my cap to Amy, who's doing a lot of good stuff to make all this happen. So put this in the chat as well, Spencer, if you could, good for me, so we can get that thing rolling. Man, a lot going on. I got to show you this. Hang on, Devin, I'm coming, brother. I promise. I got to show you this just because there's some great stuff going on. Did you guys hear? Pull up Marco Rubio. Pull up Marco Rubio, and you, I saw this morning, and you tell me when you've last heard a politician articulate the gospel of the kingdom of God like Marco Rubio does here. And we need to pray and encourage our leaders. Open your mouth and declare the gospel of the kingdom of God. Huh? No more this Republican good, Democrat bad, liberal concern. Ain't none of that stuff, baby. Ain't none of it. Real quick, it's about a minute and a half. Marco Rubio, before what now we say was 100 million people. Did you know that? 100 million people viewed that funeral. 100 million, at least, heard the gospel out of Marco Rubio's mouth. Go ahead and play it a second.
But I did see Rubio's afterwards on VOD. I watched it afterwards. Boy, I thought he was just fantastic.
Yeah. He reached a, for me, he reached a depth I didn't know, you know, because you look at these guys as politicians, right? You figure, okay, empty suit, empty suit, empty suit. That suit's not that empty.
He encapsulated, I think, what most Christians think of. He described Jesus Christ mm-hmm. in a way, in 90 seconds, better than I think I've ever heard in any almost ever.
Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, I have it if you want. It's up to you if you want to play it now. We can play it later.
It's exceptional.
No, if we have it, play it. You have that part?
Yeah. It's cut number 7. Here he is. This is the last about a minute and 15 seconds of the speech where he closes it out. But like you said, cut 7. Here's Marco Rubio.
His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men. And he died like a man. But on the third day, he rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so they could see and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose to the heaven, but he promised he would return. And he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love. Thank you, and God bless you.
Yeah.
He's right on.
Pretty powerful. Now, listen, folks, whether they live it or not, that was a clear articulation of the gospel. 100 million people heard it. It's powerful, powerful. So one thing we do here at Coach Dave, as you know, Coach Dave Live, is we look for solutions. We got a lot of good guys out there doing some great stuff, looking for solutions. And I said earlier this week, where do we go from here? What do we do now? A couple weeks ago or a month ago, whenever it was, I lose track of time. I was part of an event down in Tennessee. And was able to hear Pastor Devin O'Neill articulate how we win back our country, how we win. And Pastor Devin heads a ministry of Voices of Mercy Outreach. Dale, he's a Louisiana guy. Pastor Dale, I assume Pastor Dale's in here today. He's a Louisiana guy, Dale. And I'm just going to shut my mouth. I'm going to open it up here. And about Pastor Devin, thanks for joining us here this morning. How do we make advantage of what's going on, brother?
Well, Coach, thanks for having me on here. What a privilege, and it's good to be around some doers because that's what we need. In Louisiana, we can actually designate our whole state tax liability to fund Christian education. Really, nobody knows it, but you know, like you were saying earlier, I'm a part of the Mayor's Faith Initiative in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Actually, the mayor has asked the whole church to come together. He's saying it's a spiritual problem and that you can't legislate morality. But I actually said that in the meeting, and not one pastor came up to me. Now, the gravity of that.
Hang on a second. You said that, and not one pastor stepped forward.
Not one pastor came up and talked to me. I told them they could do that. And preceding that, I told them, I said, look, guys, this is the issue. The Bible says there's two types of wisdom. It says one comes from heaven, is peace loving, submissive, and considerate. The other one is full of selfish ambition, disorder, and every evil work. That wisdom, the Bible says, is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. And if the school curriculum is void of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God, the Bible clearly labels it as the devil. So, first of all, that's very alarming. If we understand that curriculum is coming from the devil and we're sending our kids to it. So that's the first thing we need to realize. But I wanted to let you know that in Louisiana, we can designate our state tax liability to fund Christian education. And we would be extremely naive not to take advantage of that, because at the end of the day, what we're doing is we're actually funding an antichrist education with our money. So in that, we become complicit in this Antichrist agenda. And it's just like the lights aren't coming on, you know. Not one single pastor came up and asked me how to do it. Anyway, we really have a big job to do to wake people up. You know, that conference is Stay Awake, America. But I beg to differ. I don't think America's actually awake.
Amen, me either.
Even the pastors, you know, because when you say a statement like that, it's we're not understanding the gravity. And most people don't understand the gravity of what's happening in the schools. Amen. Now, Coach, our founding fathers, they talked extensively about the schools. You know, take, for instance, James Wilson, the second most active member in the Constitutional Convention. He said this incredible statement. He said, after much bloodshed and turmoil, we've now passed through the Red Sea in safety. And now we've gone through the wilderness and in peaceable possession of the promised land. He said, must we, after all of this, return to the flesh pots of Egypt? He said, is there not danger when a nation teaches, in some instance, it would teach another God's law? And so they were talking about the necessity to teach the next generation God's law. Why? Because the Bible, these guys were Bible scholars, all of them. I mean, they were Bible scholars, much more than even the people today. And they knew that biblical principle, if you don't put the word of God into practice, no matter what you do, you're going to be building on sand. But if you put it into practice, then you're like a wise builder who builds his foundation on the rock. And that's how they built this nation. You know, they say like all but one of the 13 colonies said you had to be a Bible-believing, professing Christian to be in government. So it wasn't, the First Amendment wasn't designed to take Christianity out of
restricted or limited. That's right.
Yeah. It wasn't designed to take it really out of the government. What it was designed to do was to keep the government from trying to come into control of a religion. Amen. To use it as a mechanism of tyranny, which that's what happened with Catholicism, that, you know, the Holy Roman Empire, Roman Catholicism, Rome became like a precursor to really the Antichrist and the woman that rides the beast. And they begin to use the religion as a mechanism of tyranny. And the way they did that was they hid the religion, actually. Think about that. So they hid the religion in a priestly language that nobody could understand and just started telling the people whatever. Our founders, the reason schools were started in America, because they taught men to read because they knew the Bible set men free. So totally opposite of the way that people think now. They were actually trying to get the word of God into the average person's life because they knew in a government that was based on self-governance that it's wholly inadequate for an immoral or irreligious people. James Wilson also said that religion and law are twin sisters, mutual assistance. He said, indeed, these two sides run into each other and cannot be separated. Governor Moore, that wrote the preamble, he said that religion is the only solid basis for human morals. Therefore, the precepts of God and the duties of man towards God should be taught in education. But they never left any authority. Okay, the Constitution does not give any authority to the government to teach education because they left that system. And they knew if you give the government authority to teach the next generation the education, they would inevitably teach the next generation for their benefit. And that's what's happened. In fact, our education system has been heavily influenced by an organization called UNESCO, which is the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. So they want to use so-called science, which really probably is not science, but just a deception, to alter the culture of America. And America has been the things in the crosshairs. Because America is the only nation, we were actually founded on New Testament principles. Most people don't even know that. One of my favorite statements from James Wilson is, what are those two characteristics that have become descriptive of the American character? But the love of the law and the love of liberty. And he said, neither one can be realized without the other because they both lose their name and their nature without each other. Law without liberty becomes oppression, and liberty without law becomes lasciviousness. And we're seeing those extremes of that paradigm right now. And so the enemy knows if he can get us functioning that way, and we start living according to the sinful nature, which is really secular humanism, then what will happen of that nature will begin to wreak corruption and eventually destruction. And that's his goal, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I'm trying to wake people up to the dangers of the public school system, how it is eroding the public. For God's sake, almost every college in America was a seminary. Even Harvard, their motto was, Christ must be laid at the bottom of all sound learning. And so we're trying to alert people to what's happening in the public schools, because they really don't know. I mean, just for instance, like a 10-point plan, Alice Bailey, the lady, Alice Bailey was the number one New Age teacher of the 20th century. Her first publishing company was the Lucifer Publishing Company. Mm-hmm. It evolved into the Lucius Trust, which is currently the publication company for the United Nations. That publication company published the World Core Curriculum, written by Alice Bailey's spiritual son. Now, Alice Bailey wrote 24 books on how to prepare the world to receive the Antichrist.
Wow.
The offshoot of the World Core Curriculum is the Common Core Curriculum, so which was aligned with globalism through Pearson Publishing. Pearson Publishing has tagged every piece of their content, and Bill Gates had a contract with UNESCO where they data mined all the children of the public school system, sending it to UNESCO, and UNESCO's stated goal in 1949 was that nationalism was the main obstacle to the development of world-mindedness. They said UNESCO is the beginning of a long process of breaking down the walls of national sovereignty. UNESCO must be the pioneer. Then this next incredible statement, if anybody understood the gravity of this, you would never send your kid to these schools. He said, it's frequently the family that infects the child with extreme nationalism. Coach Dave, this is what's happening in America. Literally the fulfillment of the manifesto of communism written by Karl Marx. Karl Marx said, the family should be abolished and all children should be raised by a central authority. Wow. When you're sending your kids to a public school system, you are literally fulfilling the communist manifesto. And so it's extremely alarming. If you look at Alice Bailey, now remember, her first publishing company, the Lucifer Publishing Company, this lady was in direct contact with the coming Christ, not our Christ, the Antichrist of the Bible. Literally, if you read some of her statements, it's absolutely astonishing. She had a 10-point plan to destroy to erect a new world order, but it was to destroy the traditional Christian family structure. Her first thing was take God and prayer out of school. What that happened in 1948, the court case, the lady Vashti McCullen in Champaign, Illinois, she sang the anthem for the Humanist Manifesto. She was the one responsible for the court case that took the Bible out of schools. Bible was taught in schools up until 1948. And so that was the first step. Second step was reduce parental authority. Why? Because the family is the problem. That's what Karl Marx said, right? The family should be abolished. Why? Because that's the thing that molds the child. So they're using the public school system to actually destroy the influence of the family. And then they say, it says reduce parental control. Number three, destroy the traditional Christian family structure.
Mm.
So this is what the public school system is being used for, man. And we see it happening. This is where, way before we get into college, I'm talking about kindergartners. And when you get into it, if you look at my presentation, we show how the math is high-level witchcraft. The math is literally designed to destroy the self-efficacy of the children and to separate the child from the family. So the parents are like, what the heck's going on with this math? They can't understand it. It's literally designed to destroy the self-efficacy of your children. Self-efficacy is what makes any of us tick. Okay, it's my confidence and my ability to organize something to accomplish a task. So what happens when you destroy somebody's self-efficacy? They feel like they can't do anything right. And then the knee-jerk reaction is you become dependent on the government.
Mm.
And so, and the parents can't do it. So it actually separates the parents and the children. And so it's extremely alarming. We work with some of the best in the nation starting schools. We work with an organization called Renew Nation. They have a staff with over 300 years of experience in starting schools that teach a biblical worldview. Right now, Coach, we are using this model in the inner city areas of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We actually have a blueprint that transforms cities. And God's given us all the keys. So
we're going to get into some of that, Devin. The truth is the public schools cannot be reformed. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. And it's because the thing is, what we got to realize is if you have an education that is void of the word of God, it will destroy the nation. And I'm not saying you have to force a religion on anybody, but we need to at least create the opportunity, equal opportunity for every single child in America, every parent in America, to be able to choose what type of education their child has. And if you create that free market, and I'm saying get the government totally out. The government doesn't do anything well. Why? Because it's void of the word of God.
Amen.
It's void. Amen. I mean, so it's a demonic wisdom. That's why they can't do anything well.
Teddy Roosevelt said to train a child and not train him in morality is to train a menace to society. We're seeing that, aren't we, brother? So I want you to know this, Pastor Devin. You're singing our song. Everybody here, you're singing our song. This is not something new to us. Some of the stats you've given us are absolutely unbelievable. By the way, folks, you can listen to this show later. You can go back, you can make notes, you can take it down, you can share it with others. But the reality that somehow between the lie of the separation between the church and state, man, the separation between morality and the people is absolutely, that's hogwash. Happened in 1947, Everson versus Board of Education. We spoke about that yesterday. But Pastor Devin, you have a plan, okay? So let's jump into the website. What you guys have been doing, because folks, I sense that Pastor Devin, like me, I've been awake a long time, man. I've been awake a long time. Been warning people, yada, yada, yada. But this man of God, has actually been putting a plan together on how to change our city from the inside out. So, Pastor Devin, just crack it open here a little bit. What it is you do. Hey, Pastor, people are looking for, we got doers in this group. They're looking for solutions. They're looking for somewhere that they can dig in and make a difference. We got a lot of guys who found some good stuff they can do, but the fact of the matter is the average person doesn't know what to do. The government is so large and so overwhelming and so powerful, and they go to the city council meeting, they get crushed. They go to the school board meeting, they get crushed, and people, for the most part, are discouraged. But I believe that we are on the verge of another great awakening. I don't know whether it's happening right in front of us, whether we understand it or not. And we are saying here, what are we going to do? We just can't sit back and wait for somebody else. What is it we're going to do? And I know you have a plan, Pastor. So talk to us a little bit about that plan.
Yes, sir. So we're targeting the inner cities. And the reason why is, okay, so the government doesn't know how to stop murders. But there's actually a book that talks about not killing people, right? There's a book. You're worried about crime. Oh, there's a book that talks about not breaking the law. Oh, what an epiphany, huh? You want to know why we got a problem? This is why. Okay, so we're going to the inner cities because the Bible actually causes people to obey the law, okay, and into even a new living way through the Spirit of God. And so people don't, if they love each other, they don't kill each other. So anyway, there's this old adage that says an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so God has given us a blueprint. And this is 20 years in the making. The past 6 years, I've been traveling across the nation, and God gave us many of the keys that we needed to actually do what God was telling us to do. But so we have a model school that they actually put in Lafayette, Louisiana, in the highest crime area. In Lafayette, their goal was to stop generational poverty. It had a community development group and a neighborhood school with it. And the result they had was there was no murders for 8 years. It reduced the crime by 50%. Why? Because they started bringing the community in. They started causing them to love each other. And then they started putting the word of God into practice. And then what happens? They stopped killing each other. They stopped selling drugs to each other. And it transformed the neighborhood. Because of the work we did over the last few years, God gave us four other historically proven transformational strategies that we've added to this. The Moravian prayer model that was responsible for the most effective missionary campaign in all of Christendom. The disciple-making movement that's currently responsible for the fastest-growing church in the world. So effective, it shut down 50,000 mosques in Iran. I was personally mentored by one of the guys that pioneered that movement and helped them make the documentary Sheep Among Wolves. And that actually transforms the whole household. So, and then the Moravian school model, which not only puts the word of God in the practice in your life, but you teach each child how to hear and obey God. So we got, my wife has kindergartners and first grades given words of knowledge from God. They're weeping under the presence and power of God. We had little kids on their face worshiping God every day before school. They don't just become somebody that obeys the law. They become transform agents. Okay. Then as we worked, you know, in the inner cities, we did something called Sidewalk Saturday School years ago. We were able to get a drug dealer saved. So I actually discipled him in my business. So we also partner with business owners that are willing to use their business as a change agent for the nation, where God is the CEO of the business. So their business actually is a component to be able to disciple people. Because you think about it, it's hard to disciple people if you're not with them all. You know, if you're at work, you're with them all day. And so I taught this guy. I got this guy married, taught him the principles of God. I taught him a strong work ethic. He's now the father of 11 children. He's the manager of Street King, rose it to the highest position, the best franchise of that Street King in the state. Okay, and he uses his manager position to be able to disciple people. Now he wants to bring a Christian neighborhood school into his neighborhood. We literally have drug dealers fighting to get this Christian school. They're actually fighting the councilman that wants to bring some nonprofits in there that ain't gonna do nothing. They say, no, we want this Christian school. Can you? That's crazy. You would never think that drug dealers are actually trying to. They're like, we want the Christian school. Right now, we have this opportunity that is just insane. So what happens when you find one of these people? This disciple-making movement is the original form of evangelism. It's not this Colosseum model that the church has been using. If you look at the only model Jesus gave was he gave it to the 12, then he gave it to the 72. That's the model we use. The 2x2, and you go in their house. Once you find what's called a person of peace, you go in their house. And Jesus's form of evangelism is designed to convert not only their household, but their whole circle of influence. That's what's happening with this guy, this drug dealer that we got saved. It's affecting the entire neighborhood. At the end of the day, Coach, this is the deal. This guy, Clyde, they got busted with $500,000 in drugs. But if you go to juvenile detention hall, everybody, all these little juveniles that are in trouble, they're talking about Clyde. Why? Because Clyde's got the best rides in the cities. Clyde's rims are $20,000 rims. So he's the epitome of prosperity in these kids' view. Well, when you get Clyde saved, guess what happens? All of his disciples get saved, right? Because they're already following Clyde. We're seeing this happen. Now, I want to say this. We have this blueprint. We'll help anybody deploy it anywhere they want. You know, and then also, if you want to support us, please do, because it's a monumental job. We're targeting the 11 highest crime areas in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We get three churches to come together in each community development area, each high crime area. Each church has to commit to one day of 24-hour prayer. That's the prerequisite. And so that's the Moravian prayer watch. Okay, that model was responsible for the most effective missionary campaign in all of Christendom. Even John Wesley owes his salvation to the Moravians. These guys did things nobody else could do because they prayed. So if you got three churches unified in each high crime area, they're all committed to one day of 24-hour prayer. And then 11 areas, that's 33 churches, which actually creates a 24/7 prayer canopy over the city where no work is being done without prayer. Okay. Now, guys, if you want to know why we're in the situation we're in, and I'm going to tell you why. So we homeschooled our kids, right? And then, so why is the country still going to hell in a handbasket? Because a lot of people become awake and they homeschool their kids, right? Well, we left our neighbors' kids behind. The ones we left behind became the left. Now they're legislating sin. They're trying to outlaw freedom and Christianity in America. But if we simply obey the command of Jesus Christ and love our neighbor as ourselves, then we can begin to save children and America tomorrow. You can start homeschool hybrids in any school. I can start them instantaneously. Any pastor that's willing to let the people use the church for school, these people can sign their kids out as homeschool. They become the principal of their children. and then you use a, do a homeschool hybrid or micro school in the church. From there, we can bring you into a place where you can get a fully accredited school. We can develop in a fully accredited school. Why is that important? Because if you create a school and you, and if you really want to reach people, you've got to be able to raise private money or use something like Arete Scholars, which is available in Louisiana right now. Also, they passed the LA Gators. It needs to be fully funded. But Texas, for instance, that we're going to, $10,500 per child. Texas is one of the greatest opportunities in America right now. One of the best school choice pieces that, that's out there. But what happens when you create a school, okay, a Christian school that begins to teach the next generation the a biblical worldview, that see, the future of the nation is hidden in the next generation. It becomes evangelistic. So people are going to choose classical Christian education because it's scored the best over three decades. And so if we want to change the world, we can't just homeschool our kids. Yes, we need to do that. We need to protect our kids. But we got to go further than that because God's kids are behind every single door. That's and the command is love your neighbor, okay, as you love yourself. So you, it's not, you can't just take your own kid out and then not worry about your neighbor. Because if we do that, we're not becoming change agents. We're not discipling all nations like Jesus said. The command is to disciple all nations, okay? And so what if you have a school, a Christian private school that you create, and you create the opportunity for people that don't have the money to come, it becomes evangelistic. Coach Dave, I have a model school. We teach everybody in our school how to hear God and follow him. The disciple-making movement also does the same thing. But see, people like people, somebody said homeschool is the answer. People in the inner city cannot homeschool their kids. They don't have a biblical worldview. They don't have a work ethic. There's been a breakdown. Even socialism has destroyed the nuclear family. It's been done on purpose. And so what you have to do is we have to create this opportunity for the people, other people, to come in to a school that teaches a biblical worldview. And we teach every kid how to hear God and follow God and put the word of God into practice. So what happens is anybody that comes to our school will get born again. Every single person that comes to our school will get born again. You know why? Because we every day we tell them you can hear God and you can follow him. And so what happens is they start hearing the Spirit of God. When that happens, the lights come on, they get born again. Now, this is a real blueprint to actually change cities. But, you know, it's not just going to be like something you hit with a magic wand. We got to roll our sleeves up and get the work done. You know, so many times the churches, we got this lazy posture. We want to come in and sit on a cushion seat in air conditioning, have a flat screen, skidding jeans, smoke machines, light shows. That ain't, but that was no part. Jesus said, pick up your cross.
Amen.
Pick up your cross and follow me. If you, it says, if any man who does not give up all he has cannot be my disciple. And so we have to actually become a change agent. We can't just homeschool our kids because the ones we're leaving behind, they're becoming government, they're becoming media, they're influencing everything. And the church has subjugated their responsibility to the government for many decades now. And it's in 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14, it says, you know, if I shut up the heavens, there's no rain. If I command the locusts to bow down, if I send a plague among my people, he said, if my people who are called by my name, he doesn't list the world, my people called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their evil ways. God is not even talking about the world. He said their evil ways. And turn from their evil ways, then will I forgive their sins. So God is literally saying the reason the judgment, the reason the curse is on the land is because of the sins of my people. He says that I will forgive their sins and heal their land. And so part of that is we haven't been loving our neighbor. And so if we want to change America, we can't just homeschool our kids. We have to create an opportunity for our neighbors to get into the place where they can actually be taught the word of God. Coach Dave, you know, the Passover, when you look at the Passover has to do with repentance. So the gospel is repentance and forgiveness of sins. There's no forgiveness of sins without repentance. Repentance applies the blood. Okay. And so the thing is, God can't pass over America unless America repents. And if America doesn't even know what to repent of, how can they repent? See, the law was the schoolmaster leading us to Christ, showing us the need for Christ. Okay. That's why it's important. That's why Deuteronomy 6 says, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. He says, impress these laws on your children's hearts. When they get up, when they walk down the road, when they sit down to eat, when they lay down to sleep, he says, put them on your doorpost, put them on your bedpost. He says, tie them as wristbands around your arm, put them as frontlets on your eyes. Joshua says, meditate on the law of the Lord day and night, that you would not turn to the left or the right. It says, then you will be successful and prosperous wherever you go. Our founding fathers knew the word of God. This country was built on the word of God. The first landing in 1607, they signed a covenant dedicating the nation, their lives, and their work to God. They erected a cross saying to remind them that this was of God. The pilgrims that came on the Mayflower Compact, it says, for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the gospel. These people were Christians fleeing a tyrannical antichrist system. They came here. They built this nation on New Testament principles. I mean, and so the Constitution actually is meant to hold back government, is to limit government. The Bill of Rights is to limit government. They said our rights come from God. We have these unalienable rights. And so it was all New Testament principles. Liberty is a New Testament principle found in many, many places. But one such place that is notable is in James. It says, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives liberty and continues to do so, he will be blessed in whatever he does. The reason why America became great is because of what it says in Deuteronomy 28. It says, if you put these things into practice, all these blessings will come upon you and they will overtake you. So that's the reason we become great.
I finally ran into somebody who's more zealous and can talk faster than me. I appreciate it. I appreciate your heart. Yes, where do they begin? First of all, I'm going to open it up. Anybody want to ask Pastor Devin some questions? Where do they begin, Pastor Devin? Let's say you've touched somebody's heart today and they say, yeah, you know what? There's this old school there's this old church down the road. I could start something right there. Where do they begin, Pastor?
Well, you can personally call me at 225-YES-1234. That's literally my number. I didn't do it. God did it because he wants you to know. He just needs your yes, and he'll do the rest. That's it. Man, give God your yes right now. Reach out to me, 225-937-1234. You can go to voicesofmercy.com. My info's there. You can sign up there. And then,
okay, Pastor, say that real slow because I'm going to put it in the chat here where everybody can see your number. What's the number?
225-937-1234. And there it is on my website.
937-1234.
Yeah. And then they clicked on contact, and then there's my cell phone right on my website. And of course you can sign up if you want. It's got all the different things if you want to be a part of it. And we will personally help you. Like I want, this is important.
It is important. Pastor Devin, what would you say to somebody out there that they're thinking right now, God, I don't have the money to do this. Where am I going to get the help? I'm no educator. Yeah. You hear all the excuses, Pastor.
Really, man, all you got to do is say yes, God's going to do the rest. I mean, the scripture even says, make up your mind beforehand not to defend yourself, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. And so if we get out of this fear posture, we got to realize, man, the creator of the universe lives in us. There ain't nothing we can't do. I mean, it says the mind of Christ is in us. It said the Spirit on the inside of us makes judgments about all things, though he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. So basically, that's it, man. Just say yes, decide to do the will of God. And then don't lean on your own understanding. Start leaning on the one that's got all understanding. And then plus we're going to help you. Not only that, but to start a fully accredited school, we're connected with an organization that has over 300 years of combined experience in starting Christian schools that teach a biblical worldview. They will literally take you from your first thoughts until children are walking through the door of your brand new school. Okay, and we'll help you with everything.
Pastor Devin, one of the things I think we're fighting, I was a football coach at a Christian school here locally for a few years, and here's what I saw. Christian schools, for the most part, are protective of their own children. They're not evangelical in any way, shape, or form. In fact, they don't want troubled kids. They don't want lost kids. They want kids from Christian families who want to protect their children from the culture. Would you agree with that, Pastor?
Yeah, and I understand that, you know, and I mean, we are supposed to, you know, steward our children and protect them and raise them up right. So there is an aspect of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to come to this place where we're actually trying to, you know, be evangelical. One of the things, Coach, is so what we don't realize is the church has actually been perverted through secular humanism. So because people are growing up in these schools and they've been taught secular humanism, they start filtering even the word of God through it, which is not good. So one of the things I've noticed, so I was an ordained outreach pastor 22 years ago. I've done just about everything you can think of evangelistically. But in 2019, God began to wake me up in the process of dealing with the schools. And he was telling me to do a door-to-door campaign just to alert people what was going on. In the process of that, he began to reveal to me the original model of evangelism. I was never taught this in a church. And so when I got the last piece, and it was with a drug dealer, this drug dealer, the Lord told me, if you tell them what's happening in the schools and that they want to kill both of us, it would kind of have a unifying effect between the white and the black man. And so I began to tell this drug dealer I've been trying to get saved for like 15 years. I was inviting him to church for like 15 years. He comes on the side of my van. I was in the inner city getting a wallet. I had a discipleship home for, you know, so one of the guys in the home, I was getting his wallet. And he comes on the side of me and he says, "Hey, what's up, Brother Devin?" I said, "What's up, Daryl?" And the Lord says, "Tell him, tell him." So I jumped out of the vehicle with this door hanger and I started telling him about what's going on in the school. And I said, "Man, that's an antichrist agenda." I said, "They want to kill all of us." And he says, "Man, I don't want to receive the mark." And then the power of God hit him. And he looks at one arm, all his hair standing up. He looks at the other arm, all his hair standing up. He looks at me, his eyes are big as silver dollars. And I said, "Man, that was the spirit of truth that just told you what I said was true." I said, and I said, "That's evidence Jesus rose from the dead." And he goes, "Give me them door hangers." He snatches them out of my hand. So a guy had been inviting the church for like 13 years, 15 years, something like that. He became an instant evangelist in 1 minute. And he's holding his door hanger in his hand. He says, "Man, I got to tell my family first." So because even drug dealers love their families. See, that's the key with these inner city things. When we get neighborhood schools, it gives us, we have access to every single person, including the drug dealers, including the criminal element, where we can deploy this movement. But this revelation is just astonishing. He said, "I got to tell my family first." And then he says, "But my family won't listen to me because I'm not living right." He said, "Man, I got to go to church." And he says, "What church?" Before he gets church out of his mouth, the Lord says, "Do not bring him to church." Think about that. I've been inviting this guy to church for 13, 15 years. And the Lord says, "Do not bring him to church." We're literally shooting ourselves in the foot because we're not using Jesus' original model. This is what the Lord tells me. He says, if you bring him to church, none of the drug dealers underneath him will come and none of them will get born again. But see, the thing is, drug dealers don't want to go to church because they know they're going to be looked down on. They're going to be judged. And exactly what you were saying, you know, like Christian schools, even people going to church, they're going to church to protect their families. And they really don't want these bad elements even in the church. And he says, but and even sinners don't want to go to church because, you know, all of us are ashamed if we're actually in sin. There's just an inherent shame. That's part of the fallen wisdom. That's what happened in the garden. They tried to hide themselves, right? They hid from God. So that's why Jesus said, go into a house, speak peace to the house. If your peace rests upon the man. So that's the model Jesus said to. He didn't say invite him to church. He said, go. That's what he said.
He didn't say come me. He said, go ye, right?
He said, go ye. And so he says, the Lord says, if you invite, bring him to church, none of the drug dealers underneath him will come and none of them will get saved. He said, but if you'll go to his house and disciple him in his home until he becomes born again. Now, this is the second thing that was a total paradigm shift for me. I was always taught to convert people. Now, keep in mind, I'm an ordained outreach pastor for like 15 years at this point. I was always taught to convert somebody, lead them in sinner's prayer, and then disciple them. Well, the Lord is telling me something different. He's saying, disciple him until he becomes born again. Well, that makes sense, right?
Wow.
Because if you read in the book of Acts, it says the Lord added to their number daily. At the end of the day, the Lord is the only one that can circumcise somebody's heart, somebody cause somebody to be born again. He says, you disciple him until he's born again. He says, every drug dealer underneath him will come to his house out of curiosity. And he said, when they get in close proximity to the contagious, life-changing power of Jesus, every one of them will get born again. He says, son, this is the form of evangelism that takes the land back. Now get this, coach, this is mind-blowing. This, keep in mind, I was never taught any of this in church. Like, the Lord is doing this. 2 days after that, I get the documentary Sheep Among Wolves. And I'm like, man, this is exactly what the Lord is showing me. And so in 2021, this is 2019, 2021, I go to California. I don't want to go, but God, a sign and wonder happens. I realize God wants me to go. And so I go. I meet one of the guys that pioneered the movement in Iran that made that documentary, Sheep Among Wolves. Him and his family traveled with me across the nation for 3 years, and he personally discipled me. Last year, I went to 11 states, 17 Indian reservations deploying this movement. The reason why we deployed on the Indian reservations is because the Indians were actually persecuted under the name of Jesus. The Catholic Church that was given charge of the Native Americans, their motto was kill the Indian, save the man. So they literally like stripped the identity of the Native American, and that was their motto, kill the Indian, save the man. So they really felt like Jesus is, you know, what destroyed them. But at the end of the day, the same spirit that nailed Jesus to the cross is the same spirit that was trying to do what happened to these Native Americans. So in this process, man, I realized something. Now, keep in mind, now I'm 22 years ordained as an outreach pastor. And only last year, this is what happens to me. As I taught at 17 different locations, I begin to realize, oh my God, we have not been taught the only model that Jesus gave. And see, this is why you talk about people trying to protect themselves and all this. This is why it's happening. Because even in the church, we're taught a secular humanist view. It's actually rooted in the simple nature, and it comes from Satan. This is happening in churches across the nation. But this is why. Because Jesus's model says, behold, I send you out like sheep among wolves. So if a sheep is to go up amongst a pack of wolves, he has to make a decision to die before he goes. See, it's this posture of going into dangerous, uncomfortable places that the church is totally oblivious of.
Amen. Amen.
And it's paralyzing. All the stuff that you're, you know, the stuff that you're saying, why isn't the church doing anything like this? Because at a ground level, the doctrine we're being taught is rooted in the simple nature to protect yourself. The Bible literally says, make up your mind not to protect yourself. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. So as soon as we step into fear, that's sin. The Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. So we're in this place of protecting ourselves. What happens? You know what happens? We shut the wellspring of God off. When it says guard your heart, you guard your heart by being vulnerable on the cross. And so it's exactly opposite of the way the world thinks. There's two different types of wisdom. Okay? The wisdom of the earth is fear-based, designed on self. Okay? And then the wisdom of heaven is faith-based, based on selflessness. The command of God to love your neighbor as yourself. Or John says, love each other as I have loved you. The very essence of Christianity, coach, is not being taught in churches. You know, the very essence of Christianity is to be a martyr. It's what Charlie Clark did, brother.
Amen.
Every
Amen.
Single Christian should be doing the same thing and have a spine, but they're operating fear. Okay, so when it says tarry in Jerusalem, Jesus said tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high to be my witnesses. That word witness is martyrium. It's the Greek root word where we get the word martyr from.
Die to yourself.
Yeah. And so the essence of Christianity is to die to yourself. That's why Jesus said, if you don't give up all you have, you cannot be my disciple.
Amen. Amen.
And so when we have fear, it builds a wall from the spiritual realm. It causes us not to move in the power of God like we should. It causes us not to be able to hear like we should. It causes us not to be the salt of the earth. You know, the only reason that darkness can take over is if light refuses to shine.
Absence of light.
You turn the light switch on and darkness disappears. What's happening is the church is not actually laying their life down. They're not walking in love. The scripture says this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers.
Amen.
And so what I'm telling you, 22 years ordained outreach pastor, I was pretty radical. And it was only last year, after all of this stuff happened, the lights came on, and I realized, man, we have not even been taught the only model Jesus Christ gave the church.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Devin, we are promoting life enhancement rather than life change. That's really what it is, right? We want to keep our same life and have make our lives better. We're not looking for a life-changing encounter with Christ. Folks, come on, somebody come in here. And he said a lot. He talks faster than I do, and certainly you have questions. And let me throw this out there real quick, Pastor Devin. First of all, people are going to say, I can't do this. I'm not qualified to do this. Where am I going to get the money to do this? Who am I? Yada, yada, yada. What would be your answer to that, Pastor?
And we're going to show you how to raise money. So one of the things that Renew a Nation does, and I've been trained in, is called donor development. And so the thing is people are looking for answers. There are people out there that have money and they want to give. And we need to connect with those type of people because, you know, at the end of the day, everybody has a different skill set. You know, I've got the tools. I've got the keys. I don't have the money. So I need the people that have the money. And anybody that starts these schools, they'll need the money too. So initially, you do have to raise money. I mean, we can teach you how to do that. But, I mean, people are they want their children to have freedom. You know, and if we don't help other people's children, then our children aren't going to have freedom. Because at the end of the day, we all live in America, man. A little leaven, the Bible tells us clearly, there's spiritual principles. A little leaven works through the whole lump of dough.
The average American church pastor, whether they will admit it or not, do not have a heart for the lost. Right? Would you agree with that?
I would, but you know what? This is where I play on their heartstrings because a little leaven works the whole lump of dough. And if you don't go help your brother, it's going to come knocking on your door. Okay, you don't go help the inner city. Guess where the drugs are coming from? Guess where the fentanyl is coming from? So blue collar, white collar, your kids are dropping dead from fentanyl overdose because we're not helping the inner city. Because that's where the strong man is. I've got a blueprint to save the drug dealers and cause them to become some of the greatest change agents. The guy that we got saved, this guy it's unbelievable. This guy will go into Beirut. There's no place this guy won't go. He's bringing the Christian school into the inner city. You know, I mean, he's discipling people in his business. But you get one of these drugs. The Bible tells us that he has been forgiven much, loves much. So if you get one of these guys saved, he's already pastoring for the devil. He's already an entrepreneur for the devil. We just need to get him on the right side. And so we got to understand, man, we live in the same country. We can't leave California. You know why all this stuff manifested in my state? This is what's happening in my state. I went to Minnesota 2019. I said, God, why do you want me to go to Minnesota? He said, a little leaven works the whole lump of dough. That's where I got that from. And he said, if you don't go help Minnesota, it's going to come knocking on your door. So they had the perfectly normal sex education curriculum where they had every unbelievable abomination that a child should never look at, with graphic step-by-step instructions on how to operate sodomy and all kinds of stuff. Unbelievable. And we were just, you know, we couldn't believe what was happening. And so we went, right? And because we went, when we got back, we did the first Small Hand Shift Nations conference, exposing what's happening in the school system, what the origins are. If people knew that the public school was being used to groom your kid to agree with the coming Antichrist, the Antichrist can't come on the scene unless there's enough agreement with it. Mm. Well, we're doing that conference. A councilman walked into the meeting. Now, keep in mind, I went to Minnesota. I came back. I'm in Baton Rouge. I'm doing this conference. The councilman walks into the meeting and says, look, they're trying to bring the LGBT agenda into our city government. I need you to mobilize these people to go to the city council so it doesn't happen. We do it. It shuts it down. Today, Coach, LGBT and gender confusion is outlawed in the schools of Louisiana.
Amen.
That's because we helped Minnesota. It's a spiritual principle. You're going to reap what you sow. The reason we have school choice, I went to California 70 days to working with them, and I took their legislation, brought it to, gave it to some legislatures. They used it as a blueprint to pass the legislation that we now have. So now we have school choice. Okay? So that's what you got to understand. You're going to reap what you sow.
It's all connected. Pastor Devin, Ray LeBlanc up in Wisconsin fighting this very issue. Come on in, Ray.
Yeah, Pastor Kevin, good to hear what you're saying. Can you just give us a basics in order to get this thing, your foundation? You got to get 2, 3, 4 willing teachers to be involved. You got to get a building. You use a church for the building. How do you get this thing? What's your step one in this process?
So step one, bro, is this is what I would recommend. I have a presentation, and we give it away. I can get it to you. And if you can go present this presentation in a church and get some churches that are on board, typically I'll meet with a pastor over lunch. Anytime you want somebody's influence, you want to do a face-to-face meeting. That's a part of donor development. Now, donor development can be cash or it can be influence or whatever. So a pastor has influence. They have a congregation. They have a building. And that's big influence. So you're going to have to do a face-to-face meeting with a pastor, most likely over lunch. I would show him a few different slides. I would show him the slide of, you know, the Lucifer Publishing Company and the 10-point plan of Alice Bailey. When you talk about the third step to destroy the traditional Christian family structure, and you get him to realize that, hey, the public school system is being weaponized to destroy Christianity, and Pastor, you're the bullseye. You're the crosshairs on you. They're coming after. They're coming. You're the head of Christianity, so you're the target. And all your people are the target, and say, you know, will you help us save children? And you know, if you allow us to use your building, we can start. We begin to save children and America tomorrow.
Ray, let Ray come back in here. Devin, go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, real quick. Okay, right here where I'm in Marshfield, there are already 3 churches that have schools. Okay, the Catholics, the Lutherans. And the majority of the people are drawn to that, which is no different than a public school system, in my opinion. They're not really getting the basics of Christianity. So yes. We got some strong competition there against this.
Oh, it don't matter. Look, I'm just telling you right now, look, I could send you a documentary of revival breaking out in some of the schools we do. I got a documentary of revival where the kids pulled the teacher out that was crippled in the wheelchair, pulled him out of the wheelchair. Where the kids are casting demons out of people. So this school is serious, bro. This ain't like the we teach kids to hear God and follow him. So this is not just your normal Christian school. We're actually teaching the kids to move into gifts. That's in kindergarten and first grade. So that's the difference in our school. And so when you got kids, as soon as a kid starts praying for somebody, you got everybody's attention. You know, just if they pray for somebody, like a little kid just prays for somebody, everybody's attention, they're going to be touched. And so our schools, and you're right, man, the church doesn't have a biblical worldview. It's a hot mess, and it was eroded in the public school system. That was the whole agenda. And so, you know, first of all, I mean, if you get the pastor and he's willing to do that, you can start a school, and it's not, you start building on it. You start getting these kids, you know, hearing God's voice and then moving with him. That's going to be a whole different thing than anything else, you know. And so, you know, Catholicism, I mean, there's been many things that perverted the church. So Catholicism, man, was a mixture between paganism and Christianity. And so it's done some of the most horrific acts on the planet. Leonard Ravenhill said it was the best forgery ever written by Satan. Mm. And so what happened was Constantine was a sun god worshiper, and he wanted control. So he brought in paganism, which is Mystery Babylon, into the church, and then it emerged. Okay, then if you study it historically, it was very antichrist.
Pastor Devin, we got one minute left. How do they get a hold of you, Pastor?
225-937-1234. And you can go to voicesofmercy.com. That is our website, voicesofmercy.com. And that's how you get in touch with me. 225-YES-1234.
They can do it. Can't they, brother? They can do it.
Yes, absolutely. He's just looking God, for your yes.
With God, all things are possible.
Absolutely.
Folks, come on, man. What a time to be alive. The door's open. Are we going to walk through it? Are we afraid? Are we thinking, no, we can't do this. We can't afford this. I don't know what I'm doing. Yada, yada, yada. Here's a vehicle. Here's a tool. Let's take back America for Christ. God bless you, folks. Thank Pastor Devin. Hang right in there with us a second. I'll be back to you. God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow.